special Monday matinee edition of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eloise Ben, and we are going to talk about all the action that took place last night from St. Louis, Missouri at AEW Dynasty. Ben, what did you think of this pay-per-view?
Overall, I thought it was very, very good. You know, I always say this, and it always seems to ring true. For as much as we complain about the weekly AEW TV, they really shine on pay-per-view, folks. And I think this is another example of that. And so this isn't going to be a negative podcast at all. The only observation I can make before we get into this is if they can make pay-per-views this good, why can't they make the weekly TV like this good? I know not every show can be a classic, certainly. You know, not every show is going to have matches the quality of, you know, Swerve Strickland, Samoa Joe, and Ospreay Danielson. But, you know, surely you can do better than what they've been doing on TV. So this was a breath of fresh air because I feel like this is the AEW that we need. And I'm also, as an opening question for you, Elio, since they just introduced Dynasty and they seem to be increasing the number of pay-per-views they offer, do you get the impression that they're moving toward a 8 or 12 pay-per-view a year schedule?
I think what they're going to be doing is they're going to get rid of Dynamite on TV every week. I think they're going to do what TNA and WWE does, where they're going to have like an on-demand streaming service for just for Dynamite. Because they don't seem to put any thought into their weekly shows, and no wonder it sucks, and we have to keep saying it every week, even though these fanboys are still believe that it's the greatest show.
Okay, for instance, right? And I live tweeted on, you know.
We talk about live tweeting. What does that mean?
During the show, I
oh,
was.
Oh, during the show. Okay, go on.
I was tweeting my thoughts immediately after each match on Dynasty. And after the Ospreay Danielson match, I said, you know, that may have been, you know, one of the best matches I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I was telling the truth. But, you know, then you got numbnuts like Dave Meltzer who are saying, and I shit you not, you guys can look this up if you haven't seen it. He said, that might have been the best match in 100 years in the United States.
Well, fuck Dave Meltzer anyways. He's crap.
Well, it's just, you know, what the hell?
No one listens to Dave Meltzer anyways.
And then, you know, of course they're comparing Roman and Cody to Ospreay Danielson.
All right, so I saw someone do that in one of these groups, like on my Facebook homepage. They were comparing the two.
You know, and I don't think you can compare the two because it's two different approaches to the business. You know, Roman and Cody was a much more sports entertainment-centered match, much like the tag team match on night one. You know, this was a pure wrestling match. We even admitted that it didn't have any build. So, of course, the story is going to be better with Roman and Cody. I mean, come on.
I hate Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer's such a... Don't get me started. I'm in a calm mood. I had a workout. I did my treadmill. I'm feeling all relaxed. Serenity now.
Yes. Well, and I just came from my workout and had the best walking day ever in in my new walker that I'm trying to get used to.
New
So,
walker,
yeah.
like an actual like walker where like you're standing up and walking.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I had the first, I had my other one for like 25 years, and it finally gave out in like September or October. And then it took a while for me to get a new one.
Let's get into AEW Dynasty.
Diamonds are forever. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me. Diamonds are forever, forever, forever. Diamonds are forever, forever, forever,
Okay, so first of all, I did not watch the pre-show, so we're going to.
I did actually, because I was posting the results on the WPOV page, so I watched the pre-show as well.
Okay, so you want to cover the pre-show and then
I
I'll
yeah, I can do that. Yep.
come in on the main show?
So the first match, we had Trent Barretta defeating Matt Sydal by submission. They gave this match 8 minutes. This was the Can't believe Matt Sydal. What have they done to this guy?
I
Like
yeah, he did.
where he is now from where he was.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to be a curtain jerker.
Right. Then the second match, it was tag team Katsuyori Shibata and Orange Cassidy defeating Shane Taylor Promotions.
That pisses me off so much.
Like, why? And then we had a winner-take-all title unification match for the AEW World Trios and ROH Six-Man Tag Championships. Bullet Club Gold defeated the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. I'm not gonna call him Daddy Ass. Stop
No,
it.
please don't do that.
Stop it. It's the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. But yeah, Bullet Club Gold are your new champions, unified champions.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but just in terms of my opinion on the matter,
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know this one is another one I didn't really care about.
but then again, I was. In all fairness, I was complaining when the Acclaimed had the championships. Because, let's face it, for the Acclaimed, in my opinion, have really cooled off from where they were. And I wasn't even that big of a fan when they were at their hottest. So, so I really can't complain.
And oh my God, I can't believe we're still doing this. The audience kept singing, "Oh, Scissor Me Daddy."
Yeah,
Why?
and you
Why are
know
you still doing that?
what? That is, well, I've been asking myself the same question since the inception of Daddy Ass and the Scissoring because I don't even want to think about that in that context. So it's just, there's some things in wrestling, folks, that you just can't justify or defend, and it's one of those situations where if somebody walks in and doesn't know what's going on, it's very embarrassing to try to explain it. And let's just say I'm very happy that I wasn't watching this pre-show, so my mom didn't have to come in and because she was nice enough to get me some ice cream while I was watching the show, and I'm just glad that this match wasn't on.
You had ice cream. I'm jealous now. I'll tell you about that off air though, after the show.
Okay, cool. And so yeah, I'm glad that I avoided seeing the pre-show for that very reason. But I am happy for Jay White in particularly. And hopefully they actually do something with the tag team belts this time.
Okay, and I also have that guy Evan. I have his review as well.
Yeah.
So let me pull that one up while we get into the main show itself. And this was a great way to start it. Kazuchika Okada defending the Continental Championship against Pac. Random match, but it was a great way to start.
Absolutely. And booking wise, I will admit to you that it was absolutely random. However, much as was the case with Danielson and Ospreay, which I can't wait to talk about later on, when you have two world-class wrestlers such as this, how do you not get a great match?
Right.
The only thing that I'll complain about, and like not necessarily complain, but I'll just point it out, is for two reasons. It didn't really feel like a championship match to me, because even though the Continental belt was on the line, because one, there really wasn't a feud between the two of them. Two, and number two, the Continental Championship itself really seemed to take a back seat during the actual match, and they were just focused on the dream match aspect itself. Now, I don't know if I would call Okada versus Pac a dream match, but having said that, it was very, very good.
All right,
And
and I'll go
can
on.
we just one more thing? Can we somehow get Pac more consistently on my TV, please? Because
I know, right?
that match was absolutely tremendous. And that's how you open a pay-per-view. Like I said, yes, it was random, but if you actually watch the match, it's like, holy shit, I'm excited for this motherfucker now. And
Yep.
if that's the kind of matches that they're gonna have for the Continental Championship, then I'm all for
Oh,
that.
they announced it again, didn't they? Oh, I can't wait for this one because I really did enjoy that Continental Championship, that Continental Classic.
Yeah, and the fact that they might do it again is really tremendous, because that was some of the best TV that they produced in 2023. So, and then the other thing that I really liked was after the match, Pac got a really nice ovation, which I really appreciated,
Yep.
because I don't know. Because of the fact that he has a limited exposure on American TV, I don't know how many fans outside of the hardcore are really familiar with him. So the fact that he got that kind of ovation, really, really good.
All right, now I have Evans review for that one. So he says, while nowhere near the greatness of some of his NJPW classics, speaking of Okada, nowhere near some of his NJPW classics versus Omega and so many others, this was a really good match with a predictable finish, 3.5 stars.
I agree. I agree. And that was the drawback, because there was no mystery of who was going to win, because it was the Rainmaker's first defense. And the old adage goes is you're not a champion until you make your first defense.
Right.
And the Rainmaker just came into to AEW. He's aligned with the Young Bucks. Don't make me call them the Young Fucks. Did I say that out loud? Sorry. But everything about this otherwise was really good.
Right, on to the next match, and then after I get my thoughts, I'm going to step away for a minute.
Okay.
So,
Go. I'm sorry, go ahead.
the second match. Okay, these random matches. House of Black versus Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe, and Adam Copeland. House of Black getting the win here, which I'm so happy about. Like that, this was a random match, but I'm glad the right team won because I would have hated for Adam Copeland's team to win. It wouldn't have made sense.
I agree, absolutely.
Like, we're here. Do you have anything to add while I step away? Or
Yes, I
oh,
do.
all right.
So I'll cover you while you step away. So I really wasn't looking forward to this match going in because, as Elio said, it really came off as random and admittedly, I don't watch Collision, so I don't know how much interaction they had on there, but I know that they didn't have a lot of interaction on Dynamite. And one of the things that they were really selling during this match was teasing the confrontation between Adam Copeland and Malakai Black. And one time when Malakai Black got tagged in, they teased it for a minute and then he immediately tagged Brody King and then him and Adam Copeland locked up. So I like the fact that they're teasing that possible singles match between Copeland and Black. And to be honest with you, I always say that I really don't like six-man tags because they're really hard to keep track of, and unless there's something really big and important on the line, it's just kind of hard for me to get invested. However, I will gladly say that this one was very fun and very enjoyable. I enjoy all of the competitors as singles guys, particularly talking about Copeland and Mark Briscoe, and of course, House of Black has mostly functioned as a unit, not really singles guys. But considering the fact that six-man tags are traditionally behind the eight ball with me, this one was very fun. They really did a good job of keeping the energy going off of the first match because I was concerned that there would be a drop off in the energy with the crowd from, Okada and Pac to this one, but there really wasn't. So that's a good sign for these six guys. And
And here's a
I thoroughly
review.
enjoyed this match.
And here's a review. Solid enough match, but one of AEW's weaknesses is slapping a lot of guys together in six and eight man matches, and the screw job finish didn't do it any favors. Nothing I'll remember years from now. Gotta love Mark Briscoe anyway. 3 1/4 stars.
Yes, and the fact that he's the Ring of Honor World Champion is something that I really like as well. So, shout out to him.
All right, the match number three on the card was probably the low point for me. It was a house rules match for the AEW TBS Championship. Willow Nightingale defeating Julia Hart to become the new champion.
Okay, so in all fairness to the ladies, I think they were set up to fail here. I really do. Because, let me look at the official time for the match.
Six minutes.
Yeah, and I don't think you're gonna get much. Now, if you're a grizzled veteran, of course you can get quite a bit in and out of time, but neither one of these ladies are that. They're very young and still very green. And this match suffered for it. And the other thing too is, and I'm not gonna say the match was bad because they didn't have any obvious mess ups or anything like that. But the one thing that I hated was after the match, it's supposed to be a feel-good moment for Willow,
Of course, some Mercedes had just had to show up, right?
and it doesn't make sense to me because first of all, if I could ask you a question, Elio, about your take on this.
Okay.
Don't you think, based on who she is, that Mercedes is or should be in the world title discussion after she wins a couple matches to earn it?
Yes, I mean, why is she going after the TBS championship right away?
So there's that. And then the other thing is, with this one, remember how I said I think she should win several matches? She hasn't even stepped in the ring, and the first match she's gonna have is months after she gets signed and she gets a championship match. Like, I don't care who it is. I have a problem with that.
Ben, don't you know that's what we do here? Ben's gonna get a championship match. I'm gonna get a championship match. My mom's gonna get a championship match. My dad's gonna get a championship match. My brother's gonna get a championship match. We're all gonna get championship matches here.
Well, it just it doesn't sit well with me.
It doesn't make sense. No,
And
but
she
Mercedes didn't have to show up. She could have waited till Dynamite. Let Willow and Gail have her moment.
exactly. And the fact that Willow had already won it and they were already advertising Willow versus Mercedes, even though in all fairness they did say this match depends on whether or not Willow is still the champion come May 26th
Oh my
at
God, what?
Double or Nothing. But obviously, that's still going to be the case, right?
What do you mean, whether she's still the champion or not? What? Are they gonna take it off her before that?
So, anywho,
'Cause that would be terrible.
well, that's my point, right? But anywho, so they pretty much give away the result of that match. And they anoint Mercedes as the next champion, thereby marking Willow as a transitional champion. So why should we care that Willow just had this really feel-good moment? And it might not have been my cup of tea, perhaps, but like I said, they didn't screw up in the match. It wasn't like it was bad. And I would have. Personally, I would have preferred Julia Hart to win this match, and then Mercedes to take it off of her at Double or Nothing, because at least Julia Hart had a respectable run, right? So Will and in all fairness, folks. Right, the reason why they're doing Mercedes Moné versus Willow Nightingale is because there's story there. Willow wrestled Mercedes in Japan, and she got injured talking about Mercedes during their match, and there's story there, right? But it just the way that it was executed and the way that Mercedes came out immediately after, didn't even give her 30 seconds to celebrate, not and this really doesn't have much to do with anything, but I couldn't help but notice it, and I don't mean to come off the wrong way, but I mean, did you see the dress Mercedes was wearing? You can't tell me that that wasn't every effort to upstage Willow. I mean, That was the most barely there dress I've ever seen. Am I missing something here? And yes, I'm a guy and I noticed, but that's not my point. I don't bring up the dress for that purpose. I bring it up for the point of upstaging Willow because, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't like Mercedes winning.
And I gotta tell you, right, the fact that she got signed and hasn't wrestled yet, and all of a sudden in her first match she's gonna win a championship.
I was reading. I think I was reading when someone had said Mercedes signing Mercedes Moné was a failure for AEW.
Well, so far it has been because what
Yep.
has she done?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So my question, Tony Khan, is what are you paying her for?
Right.
You
But
know,
yeah.
because if she's gonna wrestle 4 to 6 times a year like it looks like, then whatever you signed her for wasn't worth it.
4 to 6, is that Brock Lesnar schedule? What?
Well, at this rate, that's what it's going to be.
He's
I mean, good Lord.
well, now, I think I already told you this, or I don't know if I did or not. Do you know that she has her own locker room?
No.
Yeah, apparently she has locker room privileges, where she has her own locker room.
Well, that just pisses me off.
Yeah, like stop. And that's why I don't like Mercedes Moné, just for that. Like, here's a review here. More set up for the next pay-per-view. It's a Moné versus Nightingale bout than any kind of great match. It nonetheless was a feel-good moment. 3 stars.
Okay. All right, that I guess that's fair.
All right. The next match, another one I didn't really care about for the AEW International Championship, Roderick Strong defeating Kyle O'Reilly. I couldn't care less about this match. These two guys, they might be good wrestlers, but their characters are just boring and plain. There's no.
Well, that's exactly right. And I agree with you 100%. Both of these guys were great are great wrestlers, and I noted on Twitter that it's great to see Kyle O'Reilly back on the stage wrestling at this level because
But again, he hasn't wrestled once and he gets a title match.
well, exactly. It's the same. And that was going to be my next point, right? Like I completely understand the history with them and Undisputed Era and Undisputed Kingdom and all this other stuff. One, I would have liked to have seen more build, maybe have this match
Double or
at Double or
nothing.
Nothing
Yep.
so we could get more meat to it. It was a very solid match, but there was no real heat coming into it because whether you like it or not, I think it's fair to say across the board that this Undisputed Kingdom run has been severely hampered by injuries, both to MJF and Adam Cole in terms of interest, right? And it hasn't been executed right at all in terms of storytelling.
My
You
God,
know, when
what
the,
I have a question. What have they done to Wardlow?
well, I don't know that. I know he got into a car accident.
No, I'm saying what have they done to Wardlow? Remember where he was and now and where he is now.
And Wardlow is one of the biggest mishandlings in AEW history.
Yeah.
I I have no idea what Tony was thinking there. So there was nothing wrong with this match. I actually quite enjoyed certain aspects of it because, you know, these guys are such good wrestlers. But it came off as an afterthought compared to some of the matches we had already seen. And quite frankly, you know, the most interesting thing that happened in that match was Adam Cole getting up and walking, getting up out of the wheelchair and walking out into the ring, and you know, and staring down Wardlow. So now maybe that Adam Cole was on the mend will start moving in the right direction with this story. And I think it's eventually going to lead to a reunion of sorts. I do think Roderick Strong ends up with that group because I think he's
Wait,
better
what?
off.
Roderick Strong, what group?
Or Kyle O'Reilly with Undisputed Kingdom.
Oh, okay, yeah. Alright. But can we do something about that hair? What the
What, Kyle's? Yeah,
Yeah.
that was
I
it
was
was
like,
bad.
what? What is going on right now?
And I also noticed that comparatively, man, he was all tatted up. He got like five tattoos or something now, whereas before he only had one. I noticed that too. I'm a tattoo nerd. I'm sorry. So there was nothing wrong with the match. You know, if this was just a showcase match, I would have been perfectly fine with this, but what makes it lackluster is the lack of story and the lack of interest going into it because Undisputed Kingdom is just dead in the water right now.
And here's the review for that. You can always count on a quality match from these two artists. 3.5 stars.
Well, I agree. You know, because taken by itself, if you don't consider what's going on around it, the match was really good. But it's the lack of stuff, you know, that makes it make sense. That's the stuff that's missing.
All right, and then we had FTW rules match for the FTW championship, which isn't even an unofficially recognized championship, so why is it being defended? Hook,
Yes, exactly.
Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho defeating Hook to become the new champion. Why should I even care? I mean, it didn't even look like he wanted to win the title.
No, it really didn't. And look, folks, I am so happy that we have under 4.5 minutes left on this recording. So that means that LAO nor I have to talk very long about Chris Jericho and right? Now, Chris Jericho particularly looked very sluggish in this match. That's just my opinion. He looked very slow.
He did.
He looked, and he was, I understand, and I've said this before when we started talking about this Hook and Jericho feud, right? I understand the thought process of Jericho wanting to work with a younger guy and put him over it and stuff like that, but I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is I'm supposed to believe that Hook has what it takes to stand toe to toe with an icon like Chris Jericho,
Right.
you know. And then the ending of it was really weird because, you know, when Taz got up from the announce table,
Oh, geez, what was he telling Jericho? He was like pointing him and telling him something.
he exactly what he said was Chris, just go, like back off, just go. You know, because after he hit Hook with the bat, you know, they did the whole knockout angle, and Taz came to check on him, but I got confused because I thought Taz was going to get involved in the match, which actually would have made it
What?
more.
That's what I thought as well. That's why when I saw him like pointing to Jericho, I'm like, oh, is Taz gonna get into the ring and get in Jericho's face?
So that actually would have made it more interesting and made more sense coming off of that promo. But I don't know where they're going with this. Because Jericho seemed very remorseful of the fact that he chose to hit him with a bat and had to beat him the way he did.
Well,
But
I know where we're going, but before we do that, I'm just gonna read this one real quick. Okay, brawl, seen far better, seen far worse, but just not emotionally involved. 3 stars.
well, I think 3 stars is entirely too high. I would give it 2,
Right?
because one, I just don't care, and that's on me. And I struggle with Hook, and
Yep.
quite frankly, I'm struggling with Jericho now because lately his performances just haven't been up to par. And I don't want to come off as disrespectful, but people were chanting at him to like please retire. But if these are the kind of performances that he can give us at this point of his career, then maybe he should, because these kind of matches are damaging to the legacy. So with that thought in mind, we're going to take a break right here, and we'll be right back with the rest of Dynasty. Stay right there.
All right, we are back. We're going to continue our look at AEW Dynasty. Our next match up is the AEW Women's Championship. Toni Storm defeating Thunder Rosa to retain the championship.
So we're gonna start off with your thoughts on this one, because I feel like I've been talking a little too much.
So, all right, I know a lot of people don't like the character. I don't mind it. I get the character because I'm like from that old time period where of the 50s and 60s where the black and white movies, Marilyn Monroe and all that. But I get it that it's wearing out its welcome. And but for me, what's distracting about it is always switching from the black and white to color with the camera.
Yeah, they even did that during the match at one point. It was like, what the
Yeah,
hell?
like so that one, that part's distracting, but like I don't hate the character, but I think it's kind of time to maybe move on from the character.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the character. I mean, I get it. And for what it is, she is doing a fantastic job at it. I don't take that away from her at all. But it's just not something that I'm into. And I was honestly distracted by something else
Oh,
in addition.
Mariah May, I would be
Well,
too. Damn it. Go on.
there was that too, and that dress was, oh my God. That was actually a very good-looking, beautiful dress. She looked absolutely beautiful. I'm not even kidding. But no, the white powdery stuff on Tony's face.
Oh, see, Joan Crawford. That's what she used to do that in she the one who played her in the movie Mommy Dearest did that. Like she went all psycho in one scene where she had no wire hangers. Cause like she didn't like wire hangers in her house. So she like went all psycho. She spilled all this white powder on the floor and made her daughter clean it up and stayed with her and cleaned it up, and then all the white powder ended up on her face. I'm like, okay.
Well, it doesn't work for wrestling. It's like
No.
very
By what
strange.
I'm saying, I get where they got that from. They got it from Mommy Dearest, that movie from 82.
Well, and I've seen the clips of that, but I must have missed that scene.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna send it to you off air after the show. I'll find it on YouTube and I'll send it to you.
Okay.
It's called No Wire Hangers.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so I was very impressed by this match. This was actually the high point for me at this point in the evening, which I was very surprised by. Not because of the competitors in the ring, but just because, I didn't know what we were gonna get out of Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
This was I feel like this was her first big match coming off of the back injury. So I was very impressed with her performance as well. She looked tremendous. Some of the suplexes didn't look right. Some of them, like, they barely got each other up. So I don't know if there was a miscommunication there, but overall, this match was highly enjoyable, and it showed why these women are two of the best.
And the review here says, good match. Storm has a great shtick. My favorite active woman wrestler. 3 1/4 stars.
Okay, so he's a fan of it. Yeah, I was running into a lot of fans of that gimmick, and I'm just, I understand it, and everybody has their taste, but it's just not my thing.
Oh,
But
yeah, open your mind to the gimmick. Open your mind, dear Benjamin. It's Toni Storm. It's timeless.
I just preferred the old gimmick of Toni Storm.
At the media scrum, she called out Nikki Bella.
Nikki Bella was at the media
No,
scrum.
she called her out like she did that one media scrum where she called out Wendi Richter for a match.
Oh
So
my God.
this time she called out Nikki Bella.
I saw where she mimicked Cody Rhodes and was like, if they ever have a moment celebrating my career, I will not call you out to the ring to thank you.
Oh my, and you know what? I saw that and people were like, Toni Storm took a shot at Cody Rhodes.
No, he didn't.
I know, that's like, this is what I'm talking about. Not everything is, has to be that. Like, stop. People are stupid.
I know. But
Fuck wrestling fans.
yes, I was, except the ones listening to the PNC Progression
Yeah,
Wrestling
except you
podcast.
guys. You guys are cool.
You're bright, intelligent, wonderful
Yes.
people. Thank you for listening to the show.
All right,
have
next.
to I have to put that d disclaimer in there so you guys don't leave out of rage.
Okay, next one up is Will Ospreay defeating Bryan Danielson.
To me, this was far and away the best thing on the show. I mean, to be honest with you folks, I don't know what to say about this match to do it justice.
Go back and
Now,
watch it.
exactly. Now there was one point with the Tiger Driver toward the end of the match that I was concerned, because it did look like Brian landed on his neck, so I was legitimately
Oh,
concerned.
so that wait, was that the where at the end he was like laying in the ring, the medics were checking on him?
Yes, and so I legitimately couldn't tell if it was a real injury or if it was part of the show. Now
Yeah.
I'm sure he was banged up to some degree because it looked like it hurt. But I'm going to guess that it's not significant, and the reason why I say that is because, one, they showed footage of him and Ospreay in the training room after the fact, and two, Ospreay was mentioning that because of what happened to Brian, he's going to be retiring the Tiger Driver and not using it in the future. And because of the fact that he mentioned that, I'm guessing they're turning something into a work.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure how that's gonna go, but I got the impression that it is because I don't because the commentators also made a note of saying that he was able to walk backstage with a little bit of assistance, and if he legitimately fucked up his neck, like badly, I don't think he would have been able to do that. So those three factors make me think that it's either not as bad as it looked, or it's just part of the show to begin with. Either way, we certainly don't wish injury on anybody, and
No.
certainly we've had enough with Brian's neck, and we don't want him going out like that, especially after such a tremendous, 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 did I say tremendous, match. Now I will say, because I mentioned earlier that I posted on Twitter that it was one of the best matches that I personally have ever seen, which I was telling you the truth about that, folks. But here's the problem, okay? You have people that take it too far, Dave Meltzer saying this is the best match in the United States in 100 years,
Fuck now, sir.
or something like that, and it's just like what? Or they use it as a vehicle to compare it to Roman and Cody,
Cody.
and it's like. And I'm gonna ask you, Elio, do you think the two matches are comparable?
No, like they're both good matches, but this one was a match, and Cody and Roman was a storyline, a storytelling.
Exactly. Listen to this man. He preaches the gospel of truth, okay? He
And
should be
that's what
right.
The Rock and I have problem. He likes to say, "I'm gonna drop some gospel. I'm Father Elio Rock. You're not Father Rock. I am."
Yes, exactly. And he has the religious garb to prove it, God damn it. Sorry, I used the Lord's name in vain. I'm
Oh,
so
that
sorry, Father Elio.
you're gonna go to hell for that.
Smite me down on my very podcast. I shall smite the almighty smiter. No, that was from Bruce Almighty. Don't you remember that? Okay, very good.
I've seen Bruce Almighty.
So you got the reference. Very good. So yeah, just go back and watch this match and enjoy it for the master class in pro wrestling that it is.
Review, here's a review for this one. Osprey Danielson put on a 5-star masterpiece, wrestling elevated to art. I pity Swerve and Joe having to follow with that, and I pity the innumerable fans who dismiss artists like this as just spot monkeys, casting pearls to swine. Don't miss this match.
Absolutely. I agree with every single sentence of that. And I do think that the two matches that came after this suffered for having to follow that match. Because look, it's not like those matches are bad. I've said what I've said about the Young Bucks, and I don't particularly like them, and I have my reasons. I don't like their style in the ring. I don't like some of the things that they've done outside the ring. And that goes beyond the storyline stuff, but I've always admitted that they are very good at the style of match that they wrestle, right? And by the way, the super kick was not created by the Young Bucks, you fucking.
Who said that?
Oh, some numb nut on social media. I just.
Okay, there, you do not have, you have no clue about wrestling at all. You know nothing, so you might want to go do your research.
Now, granted, I don't know who invented it. I saw on the most recent Dark Side of the Ring that it was Chris Adams' finisher, but I'm not gonna go as far as to say he invented it because it's not true. But it's just like, will you shut the fuck up, please?
He didn't invent it. He was just among the first wrestlers to use it.
Exactly.
But he was just credited as its originator, but he didn't invent it.
Right. But look, so obviously the Young Bucks and FTR, in my opinion, suffered for having to follow Brian and Will Ospreay. Now, was it a fun match? Yes. Unfortunately, I think I've seen way too many ladder
Are we on a tag
matches.
team match?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think I've seen too many ladder matches at this point to be overly impressed by them. And in addition, we've already seen three matches between these two teams that were better than this one. Now, I think it happened when he took a header into the steps, but early on in the match, Dax got busted wide open.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I think based on the spot, I don't think that was planned. I could be wrong, but my impression is I don't think that was planned. And look, FTR and the Young Bucks are especially FTR, masters of tag team wrestling. You're not going to be bored, but I just feel like, if you've seen one ladder match, you've seen them all. And, especially having seen these matches from the Young Bucks so many times, I wasn't particularly invested in this match. Now, I took it, okay, I'm going to enjoy it because it's FTR, right? And I did. It was a fun car crash of a match, but they fucked it all up. If they would just leave the match and have the clean finish, it would have been fine. Now, I'm going to give you both sides of this so you don't think I'm just going off for the sake of going off. Now, let's look at the positive side of what we saw at the end of that match, which led to the Young Bucks retaining the belt, right? So there's a hooded figure that comes through the crowd and knocks Dax off of the ladder, allowing the Young Bucks to claim the championships, right? So security gets in there and they push him into the corner and they unmask the guy. Big surprise, it's Jack Perry. Now, given everything that happened, which we've gone over ad nauseum, I'm not going to go over it again. I don't feel like being here for an extra half hour. We're trying to keep this show tight because of the kind of show that it is, and we're only covering this, right? So we're trying to make it concise and to the point. But so storyline wise, bringing back Jack Perry in this fashion makes perfect sense. And from that perspective, it was executed very, very well. Okay? I don't want that to get lost. Because if I didn't feel the way that I feel and just been so tired of this punk and Jack Perry bullshit, I would have been very impressed by that return. So objectively, I have to stay very impressed with that return because it was well done considering.
And Ben's in new t-shirt.
No, I haven't.
Look at me.
But
Look at me. Are you looking at me?
yes. That is hideous.
What the?
Who
You know what I'm gonna say, right?
would buy that?
No, you know what I'm gonna say, right?
Was that?
What is that shit? Look at that shit. It's shit. Look at that shit. Who did that shit? What is that?
Yes, exactly. That is horrible looking.
God, who would buy
Some fat fuck.
that?
Does that answer your question?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know,
Now,
I'm gonna wait till we're done that AEW, and then because I was just looking at some news here.
okay, well, we'll get to that after this if you want to. So objectively, the return was handled very well, and I get it. And he's in league with the Young Bucks, and he'll probably join up with them and Okada. Okay, great. That's an interesting storyline. Objectively, do I necessarily care about it? No, because I'm done with the whole thing, and I don't think that real life things like that should be turned into a storyline, especially when a major player involved is in another company. If they were doing this and CM Punk was still in AEW and they were using this angle to capitalize on all the controversy and make money together, then I would feel different. Okay? Now, but this is just so what you heard from me just then is the analytical side and the professional side of Ben the podcast host. Okay, but here's Ben Pierce, the wrestling fan who's looking at his TV trying to enjoy a wrestling pay-per-view last night, right? Do I give a fuck about Jack Perry's return?
No.
Exactly. I don't give
Neither do I.
one singular flying fuck.
Right?
I don't care.
I don't give one flying Flugelbinder fuck.
Exactly. Can you say that again for soundbite purposes?
I don't give one flying Flugelbinder fuck.
Very good. Now, that is because I am very unimpressed with the handling of this whole situation by Tony Khan and Jack Perry in particular. In the wake of CM Punk leaving, I think they've handled it like babies and like a bunch of spoiled children, just like the Young Bucks did when they did a victory lap around the ring on Collision after CM Punk got released. My immediate reaction to that was fuck you, Matt, and fuck you, Nick. That turned me off significantly. Okay? And
That was childish.
because CM Punk, I firmly believe, wanted to sit down and hash it out and make sure that everybody made money. Was he right in how he handled the situation? No. I emphatically say no. I am not a CM Punk nerd to the degree that I absolve him from responsibility. I'm not doing that. But it's just The way that this whole thing has blown up, and now they're using it, and by way, still piggybacking off of CM Punk
So bad, so
to
bad.
continue this bullshit on top of the footage that was aired
So sad,
was
for real.
so pathetic, when already you didn't even need that stuff because FTR and the Young Bucks have delivered you three very quality matches without the bullshit surrounding it. And now the fourth is shrouded in bullshit. Right? And you're only doing it to swing your proverbial wrestling belt size cocks,
Damn, what?
at CM
The
Punk.
fuck?
It's just, I don't get it. It just bothers me. Like, oh, we have a championship and you don't.
Yay! Hooray!
I'll be surprised if the Young Bucks don't wear their belts like Eminem used to wear them
Oh
back in the
my,
day.
that was bad.
That's why I made that statement that you're like, oh my God, what the fuck? But it doesn't impress me.
All right, that brings us to our we that's all we have.
Yes.
You know what? I'm not even gonna read the review. Oh, did we just what the fuck? What? Apparently, I lost my co-host. What the hell? I'm not sure. You know what? Let's pause this. All right, so we're now going to get into the main event, the AEW Championship, Samoa Joe losing to Swerve Strickland. We have a new champion in Swerve Benton. What do you have for this one?
And
This
this.
one was, for me, it was a good match, but like that one review said, it was hard to follow up the Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay match.
Yeah, I firmly believe in what I said before we got cut off while we were reviewing the previous match. This match suffered just like Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa did from being upstaged by Ospreay and Danielson, because how do you follow that? You know what I mean? It's like trying to follow Ric Flair's retirement match at WrestleMania, or Undertaker losing his streak at WrestleMania 33. You just can't. And we saw that here. Now, does that mean it was a bad match? Absolutely not. I am so thrilled for Swerve, and he deserves this absolutely. And they delivered a good match. Was it great? I don't think so. I for Swerve's crowning moment, I would have expected I would have expected a much more climactic moment, if that makes sense. Like, they did the big ending properly, I guess. But you have to keep in mind this went like 17 minutes and 55 seconds, but it felt shorter than that. I don't know if I got distracted during the main event or not, but I'll be honest with you, it felt like 1 minute the match started and then the next it was over. Like, I looked down and then I looked back up and I was like, what the hell happened? So I would actually like to go back and rewatch this match, but I did see it in its entirety, and it was very good. But I would have liked it to be more of a more of like a epic conclusion, if so to speak, because I think Swerve deserves that. Now let's talk about it in terms of what we got. I thought both competitors did a fantastic job. But it was exactly what it needed to be, because I think eventually Swerve took control, and he hit multiple house calls. I think he hit two of them. He almost got tapped out by Joe in the coquina clutch, and very smoothly got out of that. So there were some believable, near catastrophic moments for Swerve, but I don't think anybody ever believed that he wasn't gonna win this match. And it was just it was a very satisfying way to end the pay-per-view, because I think that this is gonna launch Swerve to the next level. Do I think that, like, oh my God, this is a game changer? No. But it was a very good moment for Swerve. What did you think of the match and
Yeah, no,
the
this match was good, but it wasn't great. But then we all saw Swerve winning, because otherwise, why would they give him this big push if they were just gonna have Joe retain the title? But
Exactly.
other than that, it was a good match, good way to end the show. And is that all we have?
Yep.
All right, that is AEW Dynasty. We will be back on Saturday with the regular show. And for now, I'm Elliot. He's Ben. Ben's taking it to the fans.
Good night to the fans. And no, I'm kidding. Thanks for hanging out for our AEW Dynasty review. We'll be back before you even have a chance to miss us. Enjoy the week, and we'll see you next time.